This fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. I think that's abundantly clear from all of our readings today. One of God's favorite ways to describe himself indeed is saying that he is like a good shepherd. Jesus did so more than once, as he does in today's gospel. In the Old Testament, the comparison is everywhere. God chose shepherds to be the patriarchs. He chose shepherds to be Israel's first kings. The prophets ceaselessly speak of Israel as a flock and God as their shepherd. The image returns again and again in the book of Psalms, as in the beautiful expression from today's Psalms. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his people, the flock he tends. We are used to this image. In fact, I try to conclude that image with each of my homilies. But even so, the church likes to remind us of it frequently. So let me ask a rhetorical question. Why does the church like to do this? What is it about this image that God likes so much? It is interesting to note that among the world's religion, this image is unique to Judaism and to Christianity. Comparing God to a good shepherd can only happen when there is truly a special connection between humanity and God. For instance, that man is created in the image and likeness of God. This is very important for us to believe and to remember. From the very moment of our conception in our mother's wombs, and we do thank God for all of our mothers and grandmothers, from the very first moment of the conceptions, our conception in our mother's wombs, we were created in the image and likeness of God, and from that moment forward, we will exist for all eternity. Only then does this comparison make sense, because God, who is a good shepherd, is a God who walks with his people and cares about their every joy and sorrow. That Jesus tells us is what our God is like, what he is like. Now, in Texas, I think we're all familiar with cowboys, right? Cowboys and cattle ranchers, you know. At least we have seen the movies where cowboys are riding their horses and driving their cattle to market. You need a bunch of cowboys to drive a herd of cattle. You have to push them from behind, forcing them to move. And you need other cowboys on the side to keep them together. It's completely different for shepherds. Shepherding sheep is quite different. A shepherd actually walks in front of his flock, sometimes whistling or speaking or singing. The sheep follow along behind. As long as they can hear the shepherd's voice, they keep following. But they have to stay close enough to hear his voice. As long as the shepherd is close by, the wolves will not attack the sheep. Only when a sheep falls behind out of reach of the shepherd's voice is there danger of getting lost and being attacked. When Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me," this is the image he has in mind. He wants to stay close to us. I want you to take that to heart. Jesus does stay close to us as a good shepherd in difficult times and in good times as well. He wants to stay close to us, and he wants us to stay close to him, close enough that we can always hear his voice. That way we can be sure to arrive safely to the rich pastures and refreshing streams of a meaningful, joyful life in heaven. So let me ask a question that we can all answer, hopefully in the affirmative. Who here wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, we need to follow Christ, our good shepherd, hear his voice, and follow after him. Jesus is not a distant God. He doesn't want to save us from afar. This is why he was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, actually lived among us, you know, lived, eat, and breathed, died on the cross for us. This is the image God has of himself, our good shepherd. Yes, leading us to the dark and dangerous valleys of this world by rocking right beside his side, by staying always within hearing range. That is to say, we stay close to him through his church and through his sacrament, hearing God in his commandments, hearing God in the sacraments of confession, receiving him worthily in the most holy Eucharist, just as our children made their first holy Eucharist, holy communion yesterday. That was a great blessing. Thus, Jesus is not a cowboy, driving us from behind and keeping us distance. He is our good shepherd, and he wants us to hear his voice. Unfortunately, life in today's world is indeed noisy, and it's not always easy for us to hear the voice of our good shepherd. There's so many competing messages out there. We are bombarded with so many other voices, so many images, and so many ideas. Christ knows this, and yet he still tells us, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me." So what gives Christ so much confidence in our ability to stay close to him and to avoid the traps set by poachers and wolves? The simple answer is prayers. I like to talk about it a lot because it's so very essential. It is prayer. One of God's greatest gifts to us is to actually prompt our hearts, prompt our spirits to pray. And one that we often take for granted. Christ is always paying attention to us, just as the good shepherd pays attention to his sheep. He's always speaking to us, just as the good shepherd walks ahead of his flock, talking and singing, so we can hear him and follow along. No matter how noisy, dark, or stormy life may get. And things have been indeed stormy for a long time. But in particular this week, if you're not aware, there's been significant social media postings indicating that some groups who are upset with the leaked draft of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the Dobbs case that might possibly repeal Roe versus Wade may be planning protests at Catholic parishes across this country this weekend. There's been a few protests yesterday in front of churches, but even amidst a persecution, Jesus knows how to make his voice heard in our hearts. We can always turn into it. That's the gift of prayer. That's the gift of having a relationship with our Lord Jesus. That's also the gift of reading also like sacred scripture, especially the New Testament, where Jesus says, "Be not afraid." So let me use an analogy. I always like to use analogies. In regards to God and Jesus, you might say the server never goes down. The reception never goes bad. As soon as we turn our attention of our hearts to our good shepherd, he makes his voices heard. You might say that he's always online. He's not like Spectrum Internet that seems to go down from time to time. So he's always there, ready to hear us, waiting for us to turn our attention to him. Whether we come to church or daily prayer or make a visit to him in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, he can guide us through the meaningful life that we long for, helping us to keep his commandments of loving God and loving neighbor. And the sheep, at times we are bad sheep, sometimes for our own fault. We don't hear the shepherd's voice. We wander away, we break the commandments. You might say we get stuck in spiritual ravines or attacked because of our sinfulness. Jesus, the good shepherd, is not to blame. We're to blame for our own personal sins. Just so when our lives don't fill us with the meaning we long for, before blaming Jesus, we should take an honest look at our prayer life and our day-to-day life. Do we pray? Do we keep God's commandments? Do we strive to know him better by learning our faith and especially reading the Bible, especially the New Testament? Do we strive to pray better? So today, as Jesus renews his commitment to be our good shepherd, let's renew our commitment to be his good sheep, hearing his voice, keeping his commandments, to give daily prayer the place it ought to have in our lives. And as I close out my homily, I'd like to share with you the statement that our Bishop Joe Vasquez shared on social media in regards to the leaked draft from the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the Dobbs case. And I quote our bishop: "The Church's commitment to protect human life from conception to natural death remains steadfast. So too is our commitment to accompany mothers who face unplanned pregnancies. As we await the Supreme Court's final decision, my hope is that people of goodwill will continue to pray for a just decision that upholds the dignity of life. End of quote. And as a reminder, there are many resources for women who are facing unplanned pregnancies. And those resources can be found on the Diocese of Austin website. And in fact, just right outside our church on the main south entrance, you know, we have our sign letting mothers know that we're here to help them. But also I'd like to take time to go over a few practical considerations if ever an emergency arose in our church. So this time I shall be your flight attendant. And so as they say, your nearest interest may not be the one that you came in. Particularly if you're sitting in the south transept, if you look to my right and your left, you see these bronze doors right over here? You go out those doors and hang a left and you're actually outside the church. In that back corner, there's an emergency exit. And also in this back corner over here is also an emergency exit. And so for those who are familiar, like doctors, nurses, EMS, paramedics, we do have a defibrillator over here by our bathroom. In fact, in our confessional, we have a substantial first aid kit. I would say it's more like a paramedic bag. It's literally this big. So if you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're an EMS or a paramedic, we have those resources here in our church available. So what would happen, let's say, if a protester or protest came to disrupt our mass on our parish property? I, as your pastor, would simply politely ask them to leave our parish property in gospel and Christian charity. If they refuse to leave, we'll simply call the police. You know, as a reminder, the police station's practically across the street from us, you know, and we would engage with them to the least extent possible. But also at times they may chant. I'm not sure if they would start chanting loudly how I would necessarily respond. Kind of need to prepare you because we have wonderful Christian chants. So I think we should practice a few. So I'm going to say, praise be Jesus Christ. And you're going to say, now and forever. Our high school group do this all the time at the youth convention. It is powerful when you hear 5,000 teenagers do the following. So I'm going to say, praise be Jesus Christ. And you say, now and forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now,
I'm going to say now and forever, and you say praise be Jesus Christ. Now and forever.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Let's try it all together. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
And now and forever.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
And just imagine 5,000 youth doing that. It's a very powerful scene for our children who go to the diocesan convention, for the youth convention, the DCYC. So this time, I do like to invite our mothers to please stand as we have a Mother's Day blessing for them.